So this is going to be a very disjointed talk, and I promise I won't make it too long. Yes. Right, just so you know, I prepped this last night and read over it on my way back from Orpington, so it will be disjointed. It says the topic of this is don't say it when I was given it. And it was very difficult preparing it. I have done all the self-flagellation, so please just sit back. This is not to make you very unhappy or anything. I've done it all for you. Because I read it and I said, yes, that's me. What are you going to do with me? Lord, woe be me, and all of that. But then grace came through. So let's walk along this few verses together. I found verses 1 to 6, focusing on the negative aspect of self-righteousness, which I think is self-righteousness is negative anyway, isn't it? It's about us being judgmental. It focuses on the unchrist-like attitudes that we have. I believe Jesus was chastising us and reminding us of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and their lack of love and grace and arrogance. But then he was talking to us too and making us check our motivations, our everyday thoughts. Somebody called it a thought audit. And ways on which way we judge and are unkind. I didn't have to look far because whilst I was doing this, I could hear noises from downstairs, from my delightful children who are always part of my talk. And I was just thinking not very kind thoughts about them. But really, we judge all the time. Somebody crosses out as we drive and we cuss them. We are being judgmental when we're afraid. We judge all the time. We watch even Donald Trump. We think he's a bit of a joke, but we're constantly judging him, politicians. And watch the news as if we could do it any better. It seems, I mean, it will seem like nothing too big. It's only, you know, yeah, they're out there, they put themselves there. But we have a way of justifying other people's wrongs and justifying our wrongdoings and vilifying other people's wrongs. And I just thought perhaps we could just do this collectively so that the focus is not all on me. We can think for a moment of ways in which we judge others and why we do it. I found myself today in a church listening to a pastor sing very loudly and being a little bit about the top and, you know, using big words which I didn't understand. And it shocked me how judgmental I had become, how cantankerous I had become in many ways. And it's easy for me to say I'm old, you know, I'm at an age where I'm impatient. That is not Christ-like, is it? I find ways of justifying my bad behavior and not tolerate it from other people. And I can rationalize it all I want, but I am guilty of being judgmental. I put myself in God's place and He's the only one who should judge And that is incredibly arrogant. Talking about not judging so we're not judged doesn't mean we become foolish or condone wrongdoings. I think it means that we discern situations. We avoid judging, but we discern situations. We can't just put ourselves in certain situations that we shouldn't, or hang up with folk that we really shouldn't be hanging out with. But we can do all of that without judging others. And I believe this passage reminds us that when we are scathing and critical, we put ourselves in God's place because He's the only judge. Christ is not asking us not to, is asking us not to play God. He's asking us to resist the temptation of doing that. And it's so easy to be done, especially in the present age that we live in. When we're pious, we're saying we're better than others. We feel superior. And in feeling superior, we're judging them. We place ourselves in the judge's throne, and I mean, I do it all the time. I've been horrified since I read this about how judgmental I am and the kind of superiority complex that I have. I was really ashamed, and I'm trying really, really hard. In the last hour or two, it's turned from self-flagellation to a challenge to just pull down strongholds and capture my thoughts and center my thoughts so that I am less critical. And I believe we can all do that. Can I go over, just a moment, we'll go back to verse 3, which made me chuckle. And it was a nervous laugh. But it says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eyes?" It's a powerful imagery. But I think Christ has a great sense of humor because it just softens the blow a little bit. Because a lot of time we have got huge locks in our eyes and yet we don't focus. It takes our eyes off our own. I don't want to use the word guilt and Christ-likeness and focus on other people. Like I said, it's going to be a bit disjointed, but bear with me. We may not always be critical with words. We may not always compare people, but sometimes we are so pious, what I call unctuous piety, which is sort of very oily. I'm so holy, and you are so, so not holy. Oh, oops, you swore, and you got angry, and all the, you know, we're human, and we do make mistakes. And if we think, we look down on people for not being holy, it's sin too. Because we didn't create them. And God loves them as they are. Loves them, He creates them. He doesn't like the sin, He doesn't like what they're doing. But we haven't got the right, we're in no position to judge others. And the thing is to pray that God will help us to be more aware of our own unrighteousness. And it moves on very quickly to do not give dogs what is sacred and all of that. I didn't do much on that, so I'm moving on to ask, seek, and knock. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door will be opened to him. Which of you, if his own son asks for bread, will give him stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to you when you ask? So let's ask God to make us more Christ-like in how we deal with people. And I was reading somewhere and it said, meekness is not weakness. When we don't judge people and we're more tolerant, not condoning, we're doing what Christ wants us to do. Meekness is not easily offended. When we become easily offended and are oversensitive, we make everything about us. We are not able to serve Christ. We cannot serve Christ when we are not patient with others and we are too critical of them. We can serve Christ when we are selfless and we are happy to do. When we recognize Christ's sacrifice for us, we humble ourselves and put our piety away. Humility, gentleness, being unassuming, it's not weakness. When we are like that, we judge less and we live in peace. I was reading something on one of the girls' room, and I suspect it's all about me again. And it says, even when we're right, let's not impose our truth on others. And, I thought about it and I pondered on it. And in doing that, we draw more people to the kingdom. Jesus moves on from talking about being critical to talking about prayer. And I think that is where I'm going to tie this in with when we ask, we receive, and when we seek, we find. We need God's help not to be self-righteous. We need God's help to get over ourselves, to get over our superiority complex. We need prayer to do this. We need prayers to recognize our own weakness, says, and to rely on God. I haven't been praying much recently. I've been going through quite a lot, and I have cornered myself into a place where I'm just tired and irritable. And I found that in doing so, I'm just almost cutting off the life bloodline. And I have slowly started praying again, and I'm getting there. And I'm sure we all can get there in doing so. Jesus, in talking about how much God gives us when we ask and opens doors and provides for us, is describing how God models his love for us. How good God is to us. He doesn't give us rocks when we ask for bread. He doesn't give us snakes when we ask for fish. And if we humans provide the best for our children, how much more God, who created us and who sent his son to die for us? He said in verse 7 and 8, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find. Let's ask for wisdom and discernment and patience and courage to be gentler with people around us. Because we are all work in progress. Verse 12 says, all things, whatever you would, in the Old Testament, that men should do to you, you do even so unto them. In other words, do unto others as you'd like them to do to you. And I'm narrowing this down to bring it to the end. My 12 minutes is almost over and it suits me fine. It brings us to loving your neighbor as yourself. Which, and loving God, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and your neighbor as yourself, which has got the whole of the Ten Commandments in it. And when you love your neighbor, you'll be less judgmental of them, you'll be more patient with them. And all the things listed in the Ten Commandments, you will not do. And I believe this passage, apart from admonishing us and prompting us to live good lives and be kind and not be judgmental, is actually encouraging us to be more loving to people we live with by not necessarily accepting their negative sides, but for knowing our place with people and just loving them for who they are. Today's daily reading that I took in UCB, the first heading says, don't rush to judgment. And again, I said, ouch. Do not make premature judgments. Prejudice is prejudging. It makes you see those who don't endorse what you believe in as enemies. And that is not what it's about. It's about being compassionate and kind. It's about seeing ourselves as children of God, work in progress, and expect and giving out the patience that we want others to give us. And I'm going to end very quickly with, let us pray that there would be no prejudice in our relationship with others. Thank you.